into that boat and go over to the other side of the lake. Actually forced them to get in. He insisted. He put pressure on them. You know, that tells us, church, that sometimes you and I need to be by ourselves at times, you know, especially after we've been ministering, especially after God has called us to do a mission, especially after we've had a rough week at work, especially after we've been dealing with family problems throughout the week, financial difficulties, after we've been dealing with what's going on in our nation, in our country. God calls us to separate ourselves and be alone at times and seek Him. There is so much blessing, church, when you're by yourself and you're seeking the Lord in the privacy of your room. And Jesus had to do that. Because when you're serving God, church, when you're in the ministry, when you're following Jesus, when you're a disciple, as a matter of fact, the word disciple, church, means student, someone who follows, of course, someone who's a learner. All of us in this place, I trust, are disciples of Jesus because we're trying to learn the ways of the Master. We're trying to follow our Master, our Creator, the one who's called us from the kingdom of darkness, and now we're in the kingdom of God. And Jesus probably felt drained, spiritually drained, and he had to seek the Lord. He had to seek the Father. That's why it says here that immediately after this, he insisted that they go into the boat and go to the other side. And verse 23 says, after sending them home, sending the multitudes home, the Bible says that he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When was the last time we did that, church? When was the last time we went up into the hills, into that privacy to spend time with the Lord? When was the last time we spent quality time with Jesus, amen? We just sung about that. What a friend we have in Jesus, amen. Are we weak, feeling weak or heavy, burdened this morning? We can go to our friend Jesus this morning and pray. We can go seek him. We can spend time with him, just like our Master Jesus, our Lord and Savior, did at that very moment. But church, it says here that he went up to the hills and he prayed. And then it says that night fell while he was there alone. And these are two scenarios happening at this very moment. In this context, we have two scenarios going on. And this is the exciting thing about the Word of God. There is so much in here, church, that we can dig into and get out. And be blessed and be fed, amen. There's a table that's been prepared for each and every one of us, spiritually speaking, that we come into this place and we're able to sit and we're able to eat of all the goodies and the delicacies that the Lord has for each and every one of us. And the Bible says here, church, that he went there to pray alone, but he had sent his disciples on to the other side of the lake. He had asked them to go to the other side of the lake, to go ahead of them. He said he did it immediately. Sometimes the Lord is going to ask us to do things immediately, church. Sometimes the Lord is going to ask us to do a mission immediately, right away. He's going to ask you to pray for someone on the spot. He's going to ask you to ask for forgiveness, maybe to someone who you offended. He's going to ask you to fast. He's going to ask you to read or share the word of encouragement for someone, regardless of where you find yourself. Immediately, right away, at once. We never know what people need, church, on a daily basis when we encounter people out on the street, at the gas station, at work, at school, in our neighborhoods. We don't know what they're going through, church. But you know, there is someone who knows, and his name is Jesus Christ, that with his Holy Spirit is able to reveal things to us. Amen. Sometimes miraculously, sometimes it's something that he'll put in your heart, you know, a special word for someone who needs it. And be encouraged with that. And so the Lord asked these disciples to get in this boat and go to the other side immediately while Jesus was praying. And the Bible says here, church, that when they were out
in the open seas. In verse 24, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. But Jesus was nowhere to be found. They were in that boat because Jesus had asked them to get into the boat and go to the other side. In fact, the Bible says here, church, in verse 34, after they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his revival spread quickly throughout the whole area. And soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. There was a mission to be accomplished. And so the disciples were on their way to that mission on the other side of the lake. Jesus is going to ask us to do something in the church. He's going to ask us to do something in the ministry, to be part of what Jesus is doing in this place, church. There is a place for each and every one of us in here to be plugged into, to connect. The pastor is not able to do all. Myself is not able to do everything. My wife, no. I mean, there are few workers, the Bible says, in the harvest, and the harvest is plentiful. We must pray to God so that the Lord will send workers. But you see, when Jesus will send you on a mission, when Jesus asks you to do something, and you're in that boat, and you find yourself in the open seas, you know, you are going to find opposition, because the Bible says that as the disciples were rowing, says in another gospel, when they were making their way to the other side of the lake, the wind became furious, the waves began to rage, and in fact, it says here that they were fighting heavy waves, and another translation says that the waves were battering the boat. The waves were hitting the boat so badly that the boat was almost tearing apart, tearing itself apart, because the wind was contrary to them. There was opposition to them. You see, when the Lord asks you to do something, when the Lord has called you to follow him and become his disciple, you are going to encounter opposition, church. You are going to encounter the waves when you come to church, when you decide to serve Jesus, when you decide to serve the master. People are going to mock you. People are going to make fun of you. People are going to think you're foolish for coming to church. In fact, I heard one pastor say that over in Europe, and I'm not, you know, saying that this is general, you know, but many folks in Europe think that we are foolish for coming to church, of all days, on a Sunday morning. You know, what a foolish thing to do, they say. Not all of them, of course, you know, because God is moving in that continent and in many continents around the world. But the Bible says, church, that the spiritual things seem foolish to the fleshly mind, to the carnal mind, to the one who has not been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. They seem foolish. Foolishness. But you and I know otherwise, that there are life, amen, eternal life. Praise the living God. So people might mock you, people might make fun of you, even in your family. Jesus talked about that, that the enemies of those who follow him will at times be found among their family members, who will present opposition to those who want to follow Jesus. But you know what's interesting here, church, is that, you know, the waves began to batter this boat. And the word for batter in this context means torture. It means anguish. It means to be under oppression. And sometimes in this life, when you're in that boat that Jesus has called you to step into, and you're heading to the other side of the lake to do his will, when you're following the master, when you decide to follow Jesus and you're in that boat, you are going to encounter those waves and those situations that will seem like a torture to us, that will seem to bring anguish upon our lives, church, that will seem to make us feel miserable. I was talking to a brother that comes to church on Saturday nights, and this brother has rededicated his life to Jesus. Actually, he rededicated his life to Jesus about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Great musician. Oh, y'all met him. It was Brother Juan. He was here playing the keyboard just a few Sundays ago, Juan. And this brother was sharing with me, church, that when he didn't know Jesus, he didn't have any problems at all. No problems. Life seemed to be easy. At least he thought that, you know. Because like a friend of mine once told me, I don't know. And I'm talking about a pastor who's been pastoring a church for many years. He once told me, Pedro, I don't see how people make it with Jesus. Without Jesus, excuse me. How can people live without Jesus? How do they do it? I wonder. And then that got me thinking. Yes, I said, how did I live without Jesus? How was I able to make it without him? How was I able to go through sicknesses and illnesses and you name it, and without Jesus himself, until he found me? Not until I found him, until he found me, because Jesus found this church. And this brother Juan was saying that he thought life was easy before coming to Christ. But right after he came to Christ, trials began and problems came his way. Sicknesses here, illnesses there, problems at work, persecution to some sense, because praise God, we haven't had persecution in this great nation of ours, not like our brothers and sisters in other countries on the other side of the world. And this brother was telling me, you know, Pastor, you know, that I've been feeling sick, I've been feeling not well, and I've been going to the hospital. And I've been telling the doctors, I feel this, I have a headache. I feel pressure on my chest. And he says that they've done all kinds of tests on him and exams. And you know what the doctors say? You're okay. There's nothing wrong with you. And so, you know, the first thing that came to my mind when he was sharing this with me was, there's a devil out there, you know. There's this individual named Satan, and he's the adversary. He's our opponent. And when you decide to follow the Lord, when you make up your mind to follow Jesus like this dear brother of mine who has decided to follow the Lord and use his musical talents for his glory and has decided to step in that boat and go out into the open seas following the Lord's command, obeying him, the winds are going to be contrary to him, because Satan is going to use circumstances. The devil is going to use even people, our family members, folks at work, even our own neighbors. Or is it just me? It happens, church. Even our neighbors will turn against us. And the devil will use those things to discourage us and then to fill that boat with water and begin to sink a little bit at a time. And then discouragement comes. You know, you're following God. You're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to read the Bible. But then temptation comes. And then you fall back again into your old ways of sin. You know, God understands that, church. When we're dealing with a besetting sin, the Bible says in Hebrews, he understands that. Not because he sinned, but because he was tempted. Temptation knocked on his door, but he was victorious over temptation and sin. He defeated that on the cross at Calvary, church. And so when those things come and you seem to be taking a step forward and then two steps back, and you're just going backwards in your walk with God, and you're wondering what's going on, I tell you what's going on. Let me say what the Bible says about that situation. The winds are being contrary. The winds are being in opposition in that situation. The winds are battering and causing anguish on your boat to the point that you think you'll be sinking down to the bottom of that lake or wherever it is that the Lord has placed you in that family. You know, my good friend Oscar says, you know, we didn't choose the family to be born in, right? No perfect families, I can tell you that. Amen. But he placed you there for a reason. He placed you there for a purpose. He has a goal in mind, and he knows it all. He's sovereign. The stuff that you went through, I used to think about that, you know. And I used to cry myself sometimes to sleep. This was way, way many years ago. And I'd be like, God, why did this happen? Why did that happen to me? Why this? Why that? Kind of like feeling sorry for myself. But there was a time when the Lord says, hey, you know what? It's time to stop. And time to get up. It's time to stand up and step into that boat and go onto the other side of the lake and do as I tell you to do. These disciples were in there. And you know what? None of them were fishermen, by the way. Not all these disciples were fishermen. Maybe two or three. Remember Matthew? The one who wrote this gospel? He was a tax collector. He was no fisherman. He was a tax collector. And then he finds himself in the middle of the sea, out there in the middle of the ocean, in this boat with 11 other guys, not knowing what to do. Have you ever found yourself in that situation? What am I doing here, Lord? What do you want me to do? Why am I going through this situation? Jesus, help me. Why is this illness? Why is that sickness? Why is this trial or that difficulty? Why are you asking me to do things that I don't want to do? The Lord's going to ask us to do that. And it says here, church, that the disciples, when they saw themselves out there in the ocean, in anguish, in hostility, being harassed, it's another word for battering, the waves battering the boat, harassing the boat, distressing, causing distress. They were probably crying out to God, where is Jesus when we most need him? Where is he? Where are you, Lord? And I don't know. They're probably there, some of them praying. Some of them remembering the last time we were here. Hey, this is like deja vu, you know. Weren't we here just recently out in this lake? If we go back a few verses, a few chapters actually, we'll read about the occasion when they cross that same sea. And guess what? Jesus was there in the boat. Wasn't Jesus with us? Where is he now? And they're probably praying and asking themselves that question. Maybe you've asked that question too in the past. Where is Jesus when I need him the most? Maybe you feel so burdened, church, that when you sit down or when you kneel to pray, no words are able to come out of your mouth but tears only. Your eyes begin to well up because you're so burdened. And you know, you begin to cry and you begin to weep in the presence of God because you have no idea what you're going to do next, where you're going to go next, what's going to happen next, whether you're going to sink or whether you're going to survive. Whether you're going to live or whether you're going to die, you have no idea. And they're there at that situation, afflicted out in the open seas and worried because that wind is contrary to them. All on their own, we're going to find ourselves like that at times. If you haven't found yourself like that, let me give you the news. If you're following Jesus, expect to be persecuted. The Bible says, this is what Paul tells young Timothy, all those who want to live a godly life, not an unholy life, not in a worldly manner, not in a way that displeases the Lord. No, all of those who want to live a godly life, who want to do the right thing, who want to do the thing that pleases the Lord, who wants to step aside from sin and follow holiness, expect to be persecuted, the Bible says. And these are men, you know, 12 of them, the disciples, Matthew being one of them, and they're probably crying out, wondering where Jesus is. And the Bible says, church, that we read here that about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus himself, 3 o'clock in the morning, he wasn't asleep. He had gone off to pray up to the hills. Can you just imagine praying 5, 6, probably 7 hours straight? I can speculate, you know, I can imagine him doing that, spending time with the Father Church 5, 6, 7 hours at a time. And talk about the power that prayer gives you. Talking about the presence of God filling you when you're seeking him in prayer. The Bible says that after Jesus had spent time with the Father in prayer, he comes towards them at 3 o'clock in the morning. Here I am. When you least expect them, Jesus is going to show up in your boat. Jesus is going to show up in your situation. Jesus is going to show up in your circumstance. Jesus is going to come and knock at your door. And the thing is, are we going to invite him into our homes? Are we going to embrace him when we see him? Are we going to believe him? But church, believe this. Jesus will eventually show up. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus came walking toward them. He wasn't running. He came walking toward them, and the winds were raging, the Bible says. The waters were battering that boat, and he came walking toward them. I'm here. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you, church. Jesus has not forsaken the church these days. Amen. Jesus is with his church at this very moment. Jesus is with our families. Amen. Whether they're here or somewhere else. Jesus is with those who are suffering at this very moment of any illness. He knows that and he understands it. And Jesus was there and he says, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Why? Because I am here. And when the Lord shows up, fear has to go. When the Lord shows up, fear has to depart, church. There's no place for fear. That's why Paul tells young Timothy, it is believed that he was one of the greatest pastors of the New Testament era, a young man trying to seek the Lord, who had many burdens to carry, who had to face so much opposition, especially because of his young age or his lack of experience or because he was half Greek, half Jew. There were so many things, you know, against Timothy, blowing against Timothy in the sense of a wind. But Paul tells them, do not be afraid, Timothy, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of self-dominion. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus says, do not be afraid. Here I am. There's nothing to be afraid of. It says here, take courage. I am here. Cheer up. I am here. And the Bible says that when Peter sees Jesus, he says, Lord, if it's really you, I want to come to you. I want to step out of the boat and come to you and embrace you. And you know, the Bible says that Jesus tells Peter, come. You know, at times the Lord is going to tell us to step out of the boat and do something for him, church, out of the comfort zone in which we find ourselves many times, amen. He's going to ask us to step out of that place where we feel secure, step out of your place where you live and go on to the next door, go on next door and knock on your neighbor's door and ask him to come to church. That's uncomfortable, right? Or how about this? The next time you go out and eat to any restaurant, bring your Bibles with you. Whoa, Pastor, no. That's uncomfortable. And I'm not talking about a cell phone. I'm talking about your hardbound book, your Bible. That's going to make us feel a little uncomfortable. You know why? Because we're stepping out of that boat, out of that comfort zone. But you never know who you're going to be able to minister and bless. People see you with a Bible, and they'll say, he's a Christian. People see you with a Bible, or they see you pray before you eat your meal, they'll say, she's a believer. Maybe I can approach him. Maybe I can approach her. And the Lord will do that, amen? And the Bible says that Peter stepped out of that boat, and he went towards Jesus, walking towards Jesus. He had his eyes fixed upon Jesus. But then suddenly, remember, the winds are still furious and the waves are battering the boat behind him. And all he sees, or all he begins to see, are the waves and the winds. And all of a sudden that causes fear in him because he took his eyes off of Jesus and he begins to sink. And when he begins to sink, he cries out to God saying, God, please help me. Jesus, help me. I'm drowning, all because I took my eyes off of you. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus, church, this morning. In this boat that we are and that we find ourselves in, this church, this ark, I could call it because it reminds us of the ark of Noah. Remember, Noah had to build an ark in those days and before God sent judgment. And he gave him commandments to build the ark and to bring his family in and all those who believe. And once the door of that ark was shut, it was shut for good. They were safe in there. But judgment fell on those around him. You know, we're safe in this place, church. We are safe in the house of God. We're safe as a family of God, as part of the family of the Lord. But sometimes the Lord is going to ask us, remember, to step out of our comfort zone and fix our eyes upon Jesus and never take him off of Jesus, regardless of what is it you're going through. Regardless of what prayer requests you have. Because eventually, church, the Holy Spirit will break through when an answer. The Holy Spirit will break through and the Lord will bring you the answer. Might not be the answer we're expecting. Amen. Might not be what you were waiting for. But the Lord will eventually speak. The Bible says, church, that there were 300 or 400 years of silence. At the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, no word from God was heard. But you know, God is still speaking today at this very moment. Whether it is through nature, church, because the world has no excuse with saying that there is no God. When nature itself testifies that there is a living God, a God who answers prayers, a God who changes circumstances, a God who saves, a God who transforms and makes what's wrong right. Amen. But fix your eyes upon Jesus, not on anyone else, not on even a church. Don't fix your eyes on an organization. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. When Peter sank, the Bible says that the Lord immediately, there goes that word, immediately at once, he didn't think it twice. He grabbed his hand and pulled him up. And he said, you of little faith. That word man was added later, by the way. But it could say, you woman of little faith. You child of little faith. You young person of little faith. Why did you doubt? It was me. I told you it was me. I said it was me. Why did you take your eyes off of me? Are we taking our eyes off of Jesus? You know, when that happens, church, doubt comes in. And there is one thing I want to say, learning from this gospel, church. There is one thing that I've learned by digging into this gospel. God's been challenging me lately with this gospel of Matthew. One thing that really impresses God is faith. Not money, faith. Not what you know, it's faith. Not what you have, or where you've been to, or where you're fixing to go, or who you know, my connections. I know so-and-so, and so-and-so knows me. God doesn't care about that, church. That doesn't impress him. What impresses God, I believe, from this gospel is faith. Faith. The size of a seed of mustard, that little bit of faith. A child can have that faith. You know, that's why they say it's so easy sometimes, and I want to say a lot of times because I've seen this, I witnessed it. When you pray for a child, almost, I want to say almost 99% of the time, God will do something with that child. Whether it's healing, whether it's bringing him back from the dead. You know why? Because it's a child and he can believe. And he can have faith the size of a seed of mustard. That impresses God. But you know, from here, what I see that disappoints God, really disappoints him, doubt. You did just like Thomas, doubting Thomas. No, if I don't stick my hand on his side, I'm not going to believe. And what did Jesus say? He showed up suddenly. Thomas shows up. This is at the end of the Gospels. Jesus showed up immediately. Hey, Thomas. Jesus, Lord, I believe. Because you saw, you believe, Thomas. Blessed are those who will hear this and believe and not see. Doubt disappoints the Lord. You know, because doubt in this context means taking one or another way. I mean, you're unsure what you want to do. Do I go this way or do I go that way? It's like the waves of the ocean, James said, I believe, that come and go. The man who doubts, the person who doubts, it's like the waves of the ocean. You see them here, and next they're gone. That's doubt. Are we doubting this morning? Or are we having faith in Jesus, in the boat that we find ourselves in, and what the Lord is calling us to do in this place? There is so much to do, church, in this place, at this very hour before Jesus comes back, before the trumpet sounds. There's a soul that we need to reach out, and maybe that might be the last soul that the Lord is waiting to be reached for. And then he'll come back for his church and take us home, amen? And we'll be on the other side, amen? We'll be on the other side of this place. We'll be way beyond the rain, like we sung earlier today, church. We'll be way, way beyond the sun, beyond the stars, beyond this universe, in a place that is inaccessible to those who do not follow the Lord, but Jesus only, amen? We'll be there real soon. Soon, very soon, we are going to see the King. Where are we this morning? How are we this morning? Are we living for Jesus or living for ourselves? Are we serving the Lord or serving ourselves, self-interest? Where are we this morning? Are we living holy lives? Or are we still in our old ways? God can set us free, amen? God can deliver us. God can fill us with his presence. God can empower us. And God can increase the faith that we have to the point that you and I, regardless of what we go through, will never take our eyes off of that cross, off of Jesus himself, amen? Praise the living God. Let's all stand this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Help us this morning, God, as we go before your presence and as we seek you for a few moments, God. You know, if you've never had received Jesus in your heart, the Bible says that we all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. That is what Romans teaches. That is what the Lord has revealed to us through the book of Romans. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. John 3:16 says that for God so loved this world, that's you and me, church, and the world out there, that he gave his only begotten Son. So whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. If you've never received Jesus in your heart, this morning I invite you to open your hearts while we all pray for a few moments. Amen. And let God operate in your heart. He is the great physician. He is the spiritual doctor, the one who came for the sick. The Bible says here in Matthew, just a few chapters prior to this, that the Lord didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick of heart. He came for those ill by sin, who have been damaged by sin, who have been hurt and have felt the pain of sin in their lives. Sin is horrible, church. Sin is awful. That's why God despises sin and emphasizes holiness. Because without holiness, nobody will see God himself. Who will go up to your mountain? David used to write and wrote, those who are holy and have holy hands and have never sinned. So this morning I invite you, if you've never received Jesus in your life, invite him into your hearts this morning. As we pray this prayer, Father, I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name, and I ask you to come into my life and be Lord and Savior of my life. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to rededicate my life to you, Jesus. I've been out in the open seas on my own, by myself, with no direction, no purpose, no meaning in this life. Without you, there's no purpose, Jesus. Help me steer my boat to the other side. Help me, Father, to cross this valley in the name of Jesus, so I can make it to the other side with my brothers and sisters, with your church. Help those, Father, in the name of Jesus, that are feeling discouraged this morning, God. Those who are feeling weak in their faith, Father. Those whose lives are being battered by the waves and the winds of this world. Father, encourage them in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We lift them up before you, Father God. Father, if there's any in this place that it's in that situation at this very moment, maybe contemplating to do something that will not please you, God, something to harm their lives or themselves, I just pray, God, that with your Holy Spirit, you would convict them lovingly, Lord, and remind them of how much you love them, and that things do not have to be this way, Lord God. Help us to fix our eyes on you, Jesus, and keep our eyes on you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you, church. We're going to be staying here for a few more moments. If you need prayer, we'll be around. If there's anything we can pray for, please come forward. The altar will be open for the next few minutes. Otherwise, we are dismissed, and may the Lord